Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
You heard the man. Act like you've been there before, even though we've never been. At least I've never been to New Orleans, and we'll get a taste of that. The best hour of your day officially underway. It's a Friday. If you hear that voice in the background here, somebody actually showed up on a Friday. It's been months and months and months and months, but that's why it's a special Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. For Moneyline, it's Donnie and Kevin on our last show, because Moneyline won't be heard Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but yeah, you'll hear us the following Monday when it's a celebration of... Are we going to take a day off to go to the Eagles parade, Kevin? That's how I'm feeling. That's how I'm feeling right now.
It's a great question, Donnie. It's a great question. Yep. Now, parade number one, you were out and about.
Yes. I won't be at parade number two. No, but I had to be there for parade number one as like a, there was no way I could live with myself where I finally got what I wanted with an Eagles Super Bowl, and I wasn't going to celebrate it properly, which meant waking up at like 3 a.m. where they swore and said, don't you dare drive into that city. It's going to be mayhem. We still drove in anyway. Everybody was so panicked. They took the trains and the long rails, and those lines were ridiculous. We shot right over the bridge and right over the back. It was fantastic. So don't believe what they tell you every time.
The parade was on a Tuesday or Wednesday?
Oh,
was it later
remember.
Than that?
Yeah, I can't. I honestly want to say it was later than a Tuesday. I do.
Yeah.
I want to say maybe a Thursday. Maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah, because, my schedule is usually Wednesday, Friday off, Thursday on. Like, I wonder if, do we move some things around?
Now, you can move the things around and just sell it as, you're bringing a camera, you're bringing, like, a microphone.
Honestly, yes.
Yes,
I think so.
Yeah. On the street.
It'll be something if that's where we end up, man. The menu's starting to get a little bit larger too for the game, which is nice to see.
So we'll check into that today. So we got a lot of stuff to sort of set the table, but I have to say this, and I like some of the vibes that I get, because when you say you're going to play the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't care who of a fan you are. It's like, all right, you got to go through the final leg of the beast in the belly of the basement. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what? You got to tackle the biggest dog out there. But last week, it was like, okay, Washington's coming to town. Ooh, they're hot. They beat Detroit. Wonder how it'll be. Jalen Hurts a little bit banged up. But as the week went on, and you heard me with even Cap on Sunday, I said, Cap, he's like, well, how do you feel about this game? I said, early in the week? He's like, oh, I think they should win. As the week goes on, no, they're going to win this game. And I know we still have another week to go, and there's a lot of information that's still coming out there. But I'm telling you right now, again, like, even sometimes you listen to local sports radio in Philadelphia or your own city, a lot of the callers, we like panic, like, oh my God, it's Mahomes. We haven't beaten them before and stuff like that. But the more I hear like people lay out an honest plan, you know, how I already started my, sort of assault on Kansas City and how to win. It's like, wait a second here. The field isn't going to be all jacked up. The Eagles defensive line will beat the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. They're not as explosive. And I'm starting to dig like into details where now you're thinking again, Kevin, out, and it's usually the case, which Jalen Hurts always gets the back end of this. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, the Eagles are better at every single position. Maybe tight end, right? Because, like, well, give Kelce the benefit of the doubt. Goddard's a very good one. So if you give them Kelce and you give them Mahomes, every single position I would give to the Chiefs. You might say, well, Chris Jones is really good. So is Jalen Carter. So even their best player on defense doesn't even win an argument.
Yeah, I mean, that is a huge, huge part of the puzzle. And it's something that I've, again, been talking about for quite some time here. You know, when these conversations come up, I try and tell people, like, the Philadelphia Eagles have the best, it's the best team in football, it's the best roster in football, and they have the best resume in football. Make no bones about it. They had the best college football style. They had the best resume. They really did. You know, people would have made arguments for Buffalo, Detroit, Kansas City. I believe Philadelphia had it. And when you combine the best roster with the results to back it up, it was really, again, Don, it's been an interesting season to watch the conversations around the Eagles be what they are. You know, I know every fan base believes that their team deserves more respect. That's not really what I'm getting at here. I'm talking about being in a business that is full of people giving their picks, right? Whether it be preseason, in season, it doesn't matter. And nobody was grabbing the Eagles. To be honest, you know, and this is what I do, I adored. The only person that I saw in season go, never mind, it's the Eagles, was you. And people might think, oh, he's an Eagle fan. Donnie was loaded for bear on Detroit Lions tickets.
Yeah.
More Lions tickets than probably anybody you know, okay?
Lost 12 of them. Lost 12 tickets on the Lions, yeah.
But Donnie, again, I don't know. Maybe we're just watching more Eagle games. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't know how people keep getting this stuff wrong. And if because, I, you know, Consig always tries to, because Donnie and Dave used to just constantly, you know, try and wind me up on radio, and they're both very good at it. Like, Dave will come on game time. Right? Oh, come on, everybody believed in Philly. But outside of Dave messing with me, like, that's not the case. Like, we are still seeing people say, well, look, Sirianni's not good. Hurts is not good. Like, we're still doing it, and they're in the Super Bowl.
You know, my favorite one this week was so far, which we understand the business that we're in. Whatever the clicks get. You know what I mean? Whatever's hot, which the hot clip yesterday, I believe on Facebook, Kevin, was me and Ben on a Super Bowl prop bet that has like 23 million views on Facebook right now. So getting the people, I can't believe that number, but that's what came back to us, which is funny. It was an odd one. It was like Pacheco and Hunt to score a touchdown, or would you take 36-1, which I think was Hurts 2 touchdowns and Saquon 2 touchdowns. Like meaningless, but I guess it's one of those algorithms that gets caught up where just gets viewed by people. But like the hot take artists that we're in, and that wasn't even a hot take. That's why I wanted to bring it up, where the Cam Newtons go, and if Jalen was in the AFC, he wouldn't win a game. And then they show his statistics against AFC opponents, like 14-3 or whatever it is. Like, and then beating Buffalo Bills, beating the Baltimore Ravens, and beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, it's almost the blind takes that you take. And you know me, like, I've been on this stance for the past couple weeks where the handicap against the Eagles is not like, boy, Saquon's good. That defense is number one. It's like, yeah, I think Jalen Hurts probably has a really bad game this weekend and they get beat. And like, that's the only handicap. And it's such a stupid handicap. Like that, but that's just what we're down to with the Eagles.
I just saw a tweet of someone's like, well, what happens? You know, people keep asking me what happens if the Eagles are down 10, and it's tough to say. It hasn't happened a lot this year. I'm like, let's just tell them to shut up then. Why are you breaking it down? And it's not from a jabron. I'm telling you, it's not coming from, it's like, oh, you're reading tweets from X.Patty 14. Like, no, like, that's not who's tweeting this stuff. It's people that like run the analytical websites where, like, yeah, man, it's really tough to figure out what happens if the score is 17-3 KC midway through two. What are we talking about? What are we talking? Yeah. They don't blow out the worst teams in football. Why are we doing this, man?
People love it. Like, you know me, like, my MO for the Chiefs is open and drive touchdown. Now we take 4 or 5 possessions off until we got to score again and see what happens. Like, I'm really,
they literally,
like,
did it
so
against Buffalo.
Yes. Correct.
The score was 21-16. And everyone's like, wow, they might double them up. And they went punt, punt, and we're losing the game. They were losing the game.
Like, the feeling, the one where, like, you would have been, like, scared for a Super Bowl for your team. Like, when the Giants went up against the Patriots, who were unbeaten. And I know they put up a fight in that final game of the season. But the Patriots were like, we just might beat you 35-3 today and laugh. And, you know, if we're up 35-3 in the third, we're going to go ahead and make it 42-3 just to put that extra stamp on you. And the Giants rose up and won that Super Bowl. That's not this Chiefs. Like, that's what I'm trying. I understand they win one possession games. It is something. You know me. I'm not, oh, I had the Chiefs. No. I had the Chiefs beating the Buffalo Bills. I thought they would do it, and they did that. But this is not a team where it's like, we're going to run and hide. This game will be a fight. And I love the concepts of the opposite way. Eagles better be up by 3 touchdowns in that fourth quarter. And it's like, man, what are we doing at this point? Like, everybody has odds, but that's what we get. 2 weeks to get ready for one game. They're the handicaps. You'll listen to the people as it goes late next week when all the final information comes in, and we can certainly make it right. But that's what we're doing. On the road to New Orleans starts today, right here on the Sports Grid Network on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Not real line movement, but yesterday, as we did a pretty fun taping yesterday, which you guys will find out about this weekend for the Pro Football Today crew getting you ready for Super Bowl 59, 49.5. Down to 48.5 across the board, primarily. BetMGM New Jersey, still 49.5. So is Bet365. So you have options. You have that 1-point margin. But finally, FanDuel 1.5, DraftKings 1.5, BetMGM 1.5, and Bet365 in New Jersey, all minus 1.5 for the Chiefs. I do like to follow just like a random, you know, big book out in Vegas, the Westgate. They dropped to -1 this morning. So we do have a little bit of movement there, because if I'm looking at my total ticket counter, not just from a certain book, it's 70% of the tickets coming on the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm waiting to see. And again, the big money doesn't show up right away, because even that you're talking about the Super Bowl, if you're a big money sharp bettor, they sort of saw, even the Super Bowl, they soft open the lines. And then when they get all that money flooded by next Friday, the $1 million, $2 million, $5 million bets start to roll in. I'm interested to see where that money does come from and if it does affect the line and pushes it. So again, we've been saying, you know, back and forth, where do we think these lines actually land on the Super Bowl? And I think we were primarily correct on the total. I don't think we're going to see a 50. I really don't think that. What I did was interested that it moved a full point pre-Super Bowl week, if you will. I was actually surprised by that.
Yeah, that is the odd. Because that means that they must have taken a pretty considerable amount of under, right? Yeah. Across the board. To where, you know, the 1.5s are holding. And I'm sure the 1.5s are holding, because I think the Sunday better, Donnie, will be betting on Kansas City a lot within that football game. So, and, you know, you've mentioned they're probably going to bet on the total as well. It's interesting, though. I thought when I saw the 49.5 again, I already had placed my under bet. But I just thought that there was a chance it would go up, because, you know, again, everyone just kept, you know, fast track. And then you figure, you know, more money could potentially tick in on the over. So it's interesting. I wonder now, because they've come down a full point, is it going to take a lot to get back up to that 49.5 barrier, where maybe it won't be as easy to make the move?
I don't think so, because again, it's more than less like when the sharp money comes in, that's what really pushes the lines. Unbeknownst to, we just took a $5 million bet. Maybe on that certain book, they'll move it because they want to attract the opposite way. But just because BetMGM takes a $5 million bet doesn't mean DraftKings in New Jersey is going to move that line because the other squad has the 5 million. See what I mean? Where it goes on that individual books might move. But I do think there's a chance. And again, BetMGM 49 right now. So the trend is that it is going lower. Same thing with the side. But the handicaps are really easy for me. This isn't one of those Super Bowls where I think you outguess yourself and be like, boy, that was such a stupid pick before the game. If you tell me you like Kansas City because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, all they do is win, they win close games, and they'll do it again, I can't fault you for that. Also, if you say the Eagles are the more talented team, now is their time, they're boat racing people and they're healthy in the Super Bowl, I can't fault you for that either, which I like. Like when I grew up in the 1990s, I always loved to tell it, and I think somebody was researching, or I think it was Joe Fieso in the morning, when I was telling Ben, I was like, we don't know how good we have it over the past like 10 or 15 years in the NFL. When I grew up, the Super Bowl was a party and it was over in about the first 8 minutes because the NFC would absolutely plug the AFC by 3 touchdowns every single game or worse. And then we finally started to see that switchback with the, I think probably maybe I would say like the Denver Broncos got back-to-back Super Bowls. Like, okay, the AFC is a player and sort of somewhat even all the way through there. So I love the fact that we line up in the biggest game of the year and we usually have 3.5s or less at that point, and it's great to watch.
Yeah, see, now you just kind of piqued my interest, because I was looking at this the other day, so I want to see if I can find it easily. But, I mean, we're getting, like, these short numbers every year.
Yeah.
Now, see, this says Rams-Bengals was 4.5. Is that right?
That probably
Rams
right.
were 4.
Yeah, because the Rams were actually in their home building, too, that year. Remember?
Yeah, that's true. KC was 3. The Eagles caught 4.5 from New England that year, the year they won.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I had 3.5. My best bet on that Super Bowl, Kevin, was +3.5 first half, and the Eagles were up at the half. So I was already in, like,
there you go.
Victory mode, let's go.
I mean, I get it's the Super Bowl, right? But I'm just looking here, like, you have a couple 4.5s there. There's a minus, it says -5 when the Saints and Colts played. They had Indy -5. Pittsburgh -7 when it was them against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then you get, you know, New England -12, Indy -7 against the Bears. So
Indy was a touchdown over the Eagles 24 too. Yeah. But we competitive games that are fun where, but Kevin, in the 90s, you won the NFC. They should have just given you Lombardi. It was like the Pro Bowl the next 2 weeks. Like the NFC would plug, like, and it was almost like, but like the NFL loves parity. Like there was the parrot was like, wait a second, how's this Niners team that has like 17 Hall of Famers going up against like the San Diego Chargers, who are like, how the hell they even get in this game?
I think this to me is a representative of probably why someone like myself, who's like annoyed with the way we talk about the Chiefs, I feel like this is like something I would use as an example. Because again, it's like, oh, the most dominant team we've ever seen. 1.5, 1.5, 1.5, 1.5, 1.5.
Correct.
Like every, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I, the KC people are like, this is why I wish you would give us more respect. Like, we are not playing trash cans and we still win every game. Like, and that's valid. Like, I get that. But I think it is, man, it's just, it is very improbable to constantly play coin flip games and it lands heads every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and I mean, like, Donnie, you go through their Super Bowls, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no dominant win there, right? They just won in overtime last year. They won in overtime, overtime.
They had a couple double-digit comebacks. Like, you're not seeing the Chiefs, like, we just took a 7-0 lead, and by the fourth quarter, we're up 3 touchdowns, a walk away. They're used to that, which again makes them dangerous because they're never out of it. The joke's always like, hey, is anybody ever going to turn off a Kansas City game if they're down 17-0 in the first half? No.
Yeah.
You're going to turn the TV on in a half hour. They're up 21-17. It's just what they do. So it'll be fun to talk about like all through next week. And we're going to be bringing like show per show, breaking down the quarterbacks in a show, breaking down the running backs, the wideouts, prop bets galore next week. They're starting to filter out for some fun at this point. Those lines will move. So a lot of good stuff. The halftime show, I know people love to bet that as well. Not all that influence per se, but like, oh, he's got to play this song, he's got to play that song. But I did place a bet on who is actually going to appear on stage with Kendrick Lamar at a plus money price. And money being the key word here. You ready, boys? We're talking about it all. Super Bowl Sunday next week. That basically starts now. Moneyline, what we do.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Young Money, Lil Wayne, let the music drop. That's where we're going, K-Dub. Super Bowl Sunday halftime show. Lil Wayne +165 to appear on stage with Kendrick Lamar. How about that? Plus money. If you had one person that's going to be on stage, where are you going with it? Where are you going?
Who would you bet on? I saw the odds. I saw it was like Baby Keem was like the favorite. It was like his cousin, and they make music. No, 100%. I know that.
No, I just
but that's his cousin, and they make music together. So, like, he probably does come out.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne, like the New Orleans. Here's the only thing that I don't know is would Wayne coming out make all this Drake stuff worse? If yes, Kendrick would be a huge fan of it, but would then Wayne not want anything to do with it? Or would he be like, no, performing at the Superdome for the Super Bowl in my hometown, I'm going up on that stage?
Yes, because I think that Trump, like, you have so many eyeballs on you. And understand this, like, I usually, for myself, have been very involved, and I love radio, I love music, I love hip-hop, I love rap, I love, you know, R&B, all that stuff. I'm a hip-hop kid. It's what I grew up with. But I don't follow Kendrick Lamar literally like at all. And the reason I bring that up is it's not just young people watching the show. Like, you know, usually it's okay. You have the younger kids, the teenagers, the millennials, the Gen Zers, and then, you know, the boomers, per se. Where me, if like Lil Wayne comes up and starts ripping, my generation really knows that. But we don't know as you were telling me, I don't know any backstory with Lil Wayne and what's going on now. But if I see him, oh, hey, Little Wayne's out there kicking it. Like, you know, back that thing up back in the 1990s when I was in college. That's where you first saw Little Wayne's. Like, well, okay, this guy's like 15 years old. He's probably going to have a long longevity in the rap game. And he has. So I don't know if the beef would keep him away, but it's also like, hold on. Hundreds of millions of people are going to see me on that stage ripping a song. Yeah, we could put away the beef for a night.
Which I think is valid. This is what is so confusing to me. Though you and I hit on this for about 40 seconds one day before we ended a show. But the will Kendrick perform Not Like Us conversation. And it is just incredible to me that Kendrick was brought in for the Super Bowl off the back of a song that he may not be allowed to play at the Super Bowl. Like,
minus money to play it last. Minus money to play it last.
How does he not play? Like, and I'm, by the way, I'm not over. Listen, man, the Eagles are playing in the Super Bowl. If you think I'm going to be sat down paying attention to that, you're insane. All right, we're going to be looking for halftime action and tweeting about go birds.
Walking the dog. We're walking the dogs. Yeah, I'm stressing out. The birds are up seven. How are we holding on?
Yeah, correct. Like, I'll catch it later. So I'm not up in arms. I don't care. I'm just blown away that there are people, and I understand why, but there are people like, no, he's not going to play it. It's like, that's the whole reason he is the halftime act. Like, that is stunning to me.
I'm just stunned he's actually the halftime act. I am. I'm actually pretty stunned by that.
I will say, to your point, I don't feel as if the Super Bowl act is usually, who's the biggest artist of the year? It's more like, who's been a big artist for a decade?
Yes.
Like, and Kendrick has. But again, the reason for Kendrick is Kendrick just dominated, the last 12 months of music, if you will, right? That's how Kendrick, usually they'll be like, no, like, let's get, can't even, you know, like whatever, like, rock band.
Back in like the 80s and 90s, Kevin, I don't think the halftime show made it on TV. Like, world, like in 1985, A World of Children's Dreams was a Super Bowl halftime show. In 1986, sure. Beat of the Future. In 1987, Salute to Hollywood. You know what I mean? And then you started to say, okay.
Yeah.
The biggest one that I remember was like, now this is going to get really interesting. It was 1993, the Dallas Cowboys, I think it's the first Super Bowl, I want to say, up against the Buffalo Bills. Michael Jackson was halftime. And that was like, this is now
absolutely.
I didn't
even know he ever did halftime.
Yeah, this is monstrous. Like, he appeared like one of his lookalikes, like, appeared on top of the scoreboard. And then he just came out like on stage. People were just blown away back then in the 90s. Like, wait a second. He was just on top of the scoreboard. How'd he get to the field? You know what I mean? Like we were in a rudimentary, like, terms of, we just got our mind blown right there by Michael Jackson, the biggest star on the planet, is somehow, like, teleported down to, you know, midfield, which is pretty funny because the guy up there was doing a really good dance routine in an opening set, and then he was on center stage. So we'll start there. But I do want to let Kevin know, like, year by year, how it got absolutely monstrous, where it's like, you're going to make yourself a lot of money as a performer if you just show up here at halftime for 10 minutes. So much more to go. Moneyline, pre-Super Bowl week. Whoa. Get ready. Don't change the dial. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The years at the Super Bowl, Kevin, got real big, as I told you, in 93. It was like, all right, halftime show, Pepsi's going to sponsor it, you're going to pay us a ton of money, you're going to get a big-time act, and away you go. And it sort of grew from there. Like, 96 was Diana Ross. 97 was a terrible one, though. Blues Brothers Bash with Dan Aykroyd, John Goodman, James Belushi, and James Brown and ZZ Top. Awful. And then you got Motown the next year. Boyz II Men, Smokey Robinson, Queen Latifah, The Temptations. Still not big yet. And then you start to get, Kevin, once you hit 2001, which, what were you? How old were you in 2001? Five, six. Six, seven, eight, nine, six.
Six.
You had Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly. And then they went U2, Shania Twain, No Doubt, and Sting, all in one year, not three different years. Then 2004, like, Janet Jackson, Kid Rock, P. Diddy, Nelly, and Justin Timberlake on stage at the same time. 2005 was Paul McCartney. 2006 was the Rolling Stones. 2007 was Prince. 2008 was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. 2009 was Bruce Springsteen. 2010 was The Who. 12 was Madonna, like Beyonce, then Bruno Mars. I mean, it's like the, which is why I bring up Kendrick Lamar. Like, that's what I'm looking at.
So here's what I'll say, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Donnie, in 10, 15 years from now, someone will be doing that list. It'll be like, Kendrick Lamar. And I don't think it'll feel wrong. I'm serious. I don't think it'll feel wrong. It's that, Donnie, what year did they do the Rolling Stones? 06?
Yeah, Stones.
Is that what you said?
Way back. Yes, correct.
Okay. Rolling Stones was not the hottest act in the world in 06. They're just the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, but
that's where I feel like
coming on. Like, I don't even like the Rolling Stones, but I was like, you know what? That's worthy of a Super Bowl halftime show.
So I'm not saying it as a negative, and I'm not even saying it to defend Kendrick. I'm saying where I think the disconnect is, right? It's like they didn't go for a legend cemented. They went for the present biggest artist within the country. Save Taylor, I guess. Like that's
which is or what, at least the, which is her not ever doing a halftime show. What's the reason for that?
Yeah, maybe down the road. I don't know. It's weird. Like, is it possible to say at this because Donnie? Well, maybe, but like Taylor presently plays in front of only NFL arenas and the biggest arenas in the world. Anyway, you know. So I wonder if it's like, yeah, I'll do the Super Bowl. In 15 years, like that's when it would make sense for her to do the Super Bowl, right? Almost like when you
because
read the list,
she would like such a hot ticket item because they want to mix football fans with worldwide attention. Because as good as the game can be, Kevin, 38-3, but if it's the highest rated Super Bowl, they don't give a damn that game just went 38-3. It's only ratings. Yeah. And the NFL does not pay the halftime act. They go, you're going to get up there for free. And you're going to perform in front of 130 plus, 150, 205, a billion people, which that's worth, like, you should be paying us $500 million to get up there in front of that many people. But that's like one of the artists I'm like, you know what? How can we sway her? What do you need? Do you need, we'll find all your best friends, give you $1 million cash because how big of the Swiftie is watching that game? But I almost feel like she can't do it because the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl every year. See what I mean? Like, the minute Travis Kelce retires, I think you then open up Pandora's box and she goes right in there and does it.
Yeah, I think it's very possible. But I also wonder, like, I am very fascinated by the whole his retirement thing, Kelce. Like, I feel like it is very on the board. I'll say this. I don't think whether they win or lose this game will determine whether he retires or not.
I do.
I think he knows already.
No. I don't. I think it's one of those where when you say no's, meaning if we win it, I'm definitely coming back because I'm going to go for a four-peat. If they lose, he goes, I did everything I could possibly do. And you know as well as I do, Father Time catches up. You're not a quarterback. Like, you have to be agile. Yeah. You take shots on every play. He is, and same thing, like Jason Kelce could have came back for another year, but you're a human being. Like, I don't know if once the Super Bowl ends and all of a sudden, I have to go to OTAs in April. Like, I already hated it for three straight years, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You're playing for your only Super Bowl. You're playing for a dynasty. You're playing because you want to get 900 catches. You're playing because you want to catch your 100th touchdown. If all that is out of the way, including championships, and you're like, man, I'm ready to get my home life started here. Like, I'm ready to have kids, get married, and I'm going to live the best life and make more money retired than I am on the field. That's where I think he's coming from.
So I'm trying to just see this right now. He has the receiving yards record, right? Like, I'm trying to figure out what he need. Like, how far is he away from different things, right? So receiving, playoff receiving yards, he needs a little bit more than 200. Like, does he care about finishing number one on all these things?
I don't think so.
Is my question.
I don't think so. I just think the legacy now for him is we put three on the board. The only way I'm coming back is if we do that, and we might be able to put four on the board. And if it doesn't work, then I retire at the end of next year.
This might sound ridiculous, but since nobody's ever three-peated, I don't think the four-peat's that interesting. I don't think a four-peat is interesting.
I think it separates you. I just think it puts you so far back out in the stratosphere of, like, I got four. And you might even look at it then like this and say, well, if he gets the three, well, One thing I do know is that Mahomes will get the fourth, and Mahomes is going to get 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in a row. I know it's not going to get there, but is it that big of a feat that I got four in a row when they're only going to talk about Mahomes because he got six in a row? You know what I mean? So there are some antics that you can play towards that.
I will say, but just looking at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He needs two touchdowns to tie Jerry three. Like, if he plays another year, right, and they are just the same amount of successful as usual in the conference title game, right, he will very likely then end up with the records for – he'll have the postseason triple crown all time. He'll own receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns if he plays one more year. The reason I say I don't – because I feel how I feel about a three-peat. Like, I think the three-peat is already – they will be called the greatest team of all time if they three-peat. The three-year window, nobody's ever done it, right? You want to extend it to a four-year window, you can, but at that point, then what's the difference between a four-peat and a five-peat? Like, it's all just like, what the – you know, how's anybody doing this kind of thing?
Yeah.
If they lose, right, it's like, okay, well, we lost. Like, it's good. I'm good now. So,
yes,
it's whether or not he – wants to try and get those postseason records, like, because that's all that he's chasing to me is the three-peat this year and then the postseason records, which he would need another year to get.
I'm answering for the guy, right? So for me it's because it used to be back in the day was like, man, this guy can't turn around. Like, he's got $10 million contract next year. If he hangs it up, he doesn't get any of that money. He's going to, like, same thing as his brother. Like, a lot of the reason why Jason Kelce gave it up is, wait a second, I make $13 million a year. You're telling me in this podcast I'm going to sell it for $100 million? We're going to split $50 million. I'm going to go to ESPN. They'll probably pay me $5 million. I have to bang my head against the wall, work half of the year, have fun, and do what other commercials that are paying me millions of dollars a year off of that. It's no longer like, I have to keep playing to make money. Not the case anymore.
So he is set. How do you think that works with, I feel like it, does ESPN put him on the Monday night desk? Like, I don't know if you can go double Kelce's, like, on the Monday night. I mean, that's a little much. Like, maybe he's like, all right, I'll do Sunday. You know, my brother does Monday. Like, I think they would have to, again, I don't know. Maybe everybody loves them. I'm not saying I dislike them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you'd have the desk just be the Kelce podcast.
You see sometimes, like, the McCourties appear together, like, even on not even a telecast, like, in the booth, like a three-man booth where it's the two McCourties with whoever the play-by-play guy is. But I figure, like, it's one of those where, like, Amazon Kevin, Netflix, they'll be like, brother, we'll pay you $3 million for three games next year. And, like, you know what? That's fine. I'll do my other things at this point. Like, the money is so big and so many different packages at this. And they'll probably have to, like, even to get him back next year, they'll probably have to reshape it and give him a pretty penny just to return because he's still a very, very good football player. But you're right. Like, the Kelce's taking over the world. They already did. Both of them just banking. And the minute he retires, his wife's a billionaire. It's just a wild scene out there in Kansas City. Super Bowl Licks, L-I-X, on its way next week. Let's wrap this thing up in style here and have some fun over the next couple segments. Get to the prospects. Where do they sit? Did you make any action? Did you put any wagers down? We'll talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let the big dogs eat, people. Trying to make some money on the Super Bowl here. Not a lot of movement on some of the props that I, Kevin, am looking at here in the marketplace. Receiving props, I think Kelce's actually down a little bit. 60.5. A.J. Brown, 70.5. Devontae Smith, 51.5. Let me ask you about Devontae Smith quickly here. Because I know we're 2 weeks out, but Devontae has struggled a little bit this year and missed a game or two with a hamstring injury. It was interesting to me to see him sit out the anticipated walkthrough practice with a hamstring, which they didn't even practice. But it was still interesting that they put him on there as no practice hamstring. Yesterday did work out on the side. So I'm trying to figure out that's more maintenance, which I believe it is, as opposed to, well, Devontae, we don't need you running 380-yard go routes here in practice today and, like, you know, just to try to test things out. So I'm not too worried about that. But of the injury situation, so Landon Dickerson get hobbled with the knee. Lime are like a different category. Like, you can be like, hey, he tore his ACL last week. He's like, you know what? I think I can gut this out in one more game. Like, Lime are just a different breed at that point. But skill positions are not. Saquon Barkley, it was apparent, and I'm a worrywart during every game. Eagles won by 30 points. I was still worried most of that game. When Kenny Gainwell got extended looks in the first quarter and the second quarter, you know me, I'm like, we're only up 8. He might not come back into the game. How are we going to win this thing? Now, it didn't matter. He came back in, scored two more touchdowns. But is there any thought that, you know, maybe that calf could be a problem? Because you know me, soft tissue injuries, man, they pop up at any time, and that's the last thing you need.
So to piece number one, again, like my frustration with I don't know what people are watching. Like I saw people like, hey, man, I feel like we're not seeing Saquon enough. It's like, yeah, did you not see him working on his calf on the sideline? Like, are you really right now criticizing play calling again? Like, I don't even understand. Like, are you not watching the NFC Championship game? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, a lot of Kenny Gainwell. It's like, that should tell you. Anyway, I think getting that double bye is huge. You know, yes. getting another bye week here. I mean, that's, again, Saquon Barkley now, Donnie, within the last, how many weeks is it? We'll have played just four football games, if you think about it, yeah. Right? Or in the lead-up, we'll have played, what, in 5 weeks, 6 weeks, played just three games. I mean, it's a lot of time for him to get right. And it's the 15 carries. I mean, his second lightest workload of the season was the game against Washington. So yes. He should be pretty fresh.
Look forward to it. But also, when I look at, like, some of the receiving props that you go to, right, and I just, like, I get a laugh because the person I think of the most is, like, buying really low on nonsense is a lot of times Joe Lisi. And it's not his fault. It's just what he does. But when I see, mm-hmm. like, the numbers start at 15.5 and go lower, for like Juju Smith-Schuster is 15.5 for the Super Bowl. I know for a fact Joe is going to be on Saquon Barkley over 13.5 receiving yards. That's, you can lock that. Like, he won't take him rushing. He won't take him touchdown. But that seems like, okay, Super Bowl, they got to get him involved in the passing game and throw him like six passes. That'll be it. Hopkins, who I'm completely out on, and I was wrong the last 2 weeks, he's decreasing because he's just not as good as the other guys now that are healthy. So if he catches mm-hmm. a pass or two, it's pure luck. But he's at 13.5 now. Kareem Hunt's at 6.5. Gray is at 11.5. Jahan Dotson is a starting wide receiver, Kevin, that runs 50 routes a game, and he's 3.5. But he never even gets looked at. Pacheco's 3.5. Piran's 6.5. Like, there are so... Usually in the Super Bowl is that time where it's like, we're going to bust something out that nobody's ever seen before. And I don't mean that's Piran's the starting running back, he gets 22 carries. But, wow, Piran caught three passes this year, which I don't even know how many he caught. He caught three in the Super Bowl. Like, it's always that guy.
Yeah, Piran's very interesting. You know, we've talked about this a little bit, but the fact that with the, you know, the chance to definitively win the football game, they schemed up a look to Piran, right?
Yes.
I think becomes, you know, that becomes noteworthy for me heading into this game. It does suggest that Pacheco could be a little phased out, which I know is becoming the apple of somebody's eye. Which is just, of course, like, but so to your point about Dotson,
yeah,
like it's 3.5. Like, he might not catch a football. Like, it is crazy to think about. Don, he has one catch these playoffs, and it was the mm-hmm. first pass Jalen threw of the postseason for a touchdown.
Yes, touchdown. Yeah, but oh, look at this, getting involved. Disappeared the rest of the game.
Disappeared he hasn't caught a pass since.
You know what's funny about this? Sometimes I don't understand the Eagles, but I actually do. Like, when they moved them with the Dotson, it's like, well, how much help does Jalen Hurts need at this point? And even I was buying, like, well, you just got a guy that's kept, like, an 800-yard, you know, player per year, young guy, still in his rookie contract. Nobody's going to cover mm-hmm. him because you're worried about everybody else. And, like, just do cardio. If something breaks down, you are the ninth. Like, I still, it's not as if you're, like, putting in a, I don't even know how to, like, like Paris Campbell, like you are just like the sixth wideout. You might get lucky to be on the football field. Kevin, he is in every extended package and doesn't even get a sniff. And it's not as if it's like, well, yeah, he was a walk-on in college. The coach loves him. He's like Vince Papale, like back in the day on Invincible. Like, hey, he works hard and we just kept him on the team as like a mascot. Mm-hmm. This guy's a first-round draft pick, Kevin, getting absolutely no looks. He's completely healthy and has pedigree. It's really weird to me.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's odd. It's like they also didn't give up nothing for him.
Third round pick.
But the thing, like, they don't throw it to anyone outside of AJ Devonta and Goddard. Like, Saquon Barkley's not getting a lot of love in the receiving game.
And what do you mean? Like, if Andy Reid had Saquon Barkley, he'd catch five screen passes a game and be like, watch this guy wiggle out of everything. And they're like, you know what? We need you. Like the Rams game. We'll throw it to you once. Yeah. Oh, look, 22-yard reception. Thanks, first down.
But Don, would you agree with me? Does not have great hands, Saquon Barkley.
No, he does. Come on. Maybe he would have caught more passes this year, like game two didn't end in Saquon is catching some really nice fade routes in the end zone and has gotten 2 feet down multiple times. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, throw me that pass as a wide out, I'm there. Throw me the swing pass and it hit me in the head. Ding.
Yeah, the passes that are designed for wide receivers, he's all over. And the balls for running backs, he's like, I have no idea what you want me to do here. That's probably because he was number one wide receiver on the Giants for years.
That's true.
He's like, that's By the way, you know what I'm used to.
Came up my timeline. Like the NFL does like 12-minute videos on like the best plays of the game. And it came up, the Giants, which is why I was really interested in. The Giants-Eagles division round game, the Eagles absolutely waxed them. And I was like, let me just see, like, Saquon couldn't get loose in that game because you're so used to him. Just like, wait, once he met Saquon, you know he's getting like a buck 70 every game. It's crazy down here. One more segment before the plane takes off for New Orleans. And the Sports Grid Network has boots on the ground. Let's get you send-off here at this point here. Maybe we bring on Joe Lisi. Maybe not. You never know. You never know what happens on Moneyline. We're out. One more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go. What a Friday it's been, man. Hanging out, talking shop. Head to New Orleans next week. Like, what do the people want from us in New Orleans, by the way? What do you think they expect? Because the one thing I want to do is I have the equipment where I want to have it with me where even like every day we're down at the facility, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just to, like, stroll around, get the vibe of the place. Like, give a little walk-in commentary, take pictures with people, because I think the people would enjoy that, because they feel like they know us out there, and we feel like they know them. Like, hey, you know what? Every like, hour or so, hey, look who walked by. Here's where I'm at. Day number three, heading into the facility. Just, you know, interview this guy. Just talk to this guy here. Here's a line moving at this point, because I think this is a Super Bowl. And, like, I'm always honest, like, to a fault at this point. For me, when you go to a Super Bowl, it's supposed to be like a badge of honor. But you know me in the past, and I don't lie. Like, I'd rather be home in my basement because we were working in 3 hour earlier conditions. And when people get the notion of, man, you're lucky, you're going out to work the Super Bowl, I have to explain to them, it's probably the worst week of my year where I have no enjoyment and then end up getting sick and go home and baseball season starts. But this year is one of the first years, Kevin, where I think I'm going to get dropped off at the airport and be like, you know what? This is going to be really fun. Number one, the Eagles are in it, because if it was the Commanders, it would really downplay the whole week and the vibes are positive. So that's going for it. But also, our work schedule and how it flows on a day-to-day basis, where the times we're needed, the times we're going to be working really hard, fit what the day plan is supposed to be. Like, and I can't stress this enough, people don't understand, like, the way my early line television show was working was, I was going to sleep at, going to sleep at 3:30 in the afternoon, not morning, in the afternoon, and waking up before midnight to start my day. Be like, man, how'd you, yeah, exactly. I don't know how I did it, but I don't have to do that this time. I think it's going to be a really enjoyable experience, and the content is really going to show that. I really believe that.
Yeah, I feel similarly. I've always been honest, but I think, you know, being around you, we keep it very honest here. Last year was really tough for me.
2 a.m. in the lobby. See you guys at 1:45 a.m. Yeah. for the next day's work. 1:45 we were meeting to go to work.
I also managed to wear, like, the wrong shoes as a bigger guy. You put the weight on it. You could ask people, I couldn't walk by Thursday. And by the time we got in, listen, I don't know what it is about me, but I bring out the compassionate side of Donnie. Mm-hmm. We get in Sunday to do the game. And instead of Donnie laughing at how sick I was, he goes, somebody send him home, or at least I'll stay here and help. The kid is not right. And he was right. I was dying. So one of the reasons for my excitement, and there's a lot of reasons to be excited, is I know it won't be as bad. I know it won't be as bad as last year. It's impossible. Yeah. What I wanted to say is, do you think we, like, send the people out like a pick of the day, though, just to still kind of keep them in the mix with us a little bit? Like, I remember the first year we went out there, College Hoops was rolling.
I had a nice banger last year. I think, like, because I used to have it on another place here, you know, 4 or 5 games in a row, hit a streak out there, which was nice, cashed in a couple things like that. But I think that it's definitely where we're going to be together. I'll set it up. Who you got in college basketball tonight? Who you got in the pros? Because I know it's your favorite week, too, because trade deadline, is right during Super Bowl week every single year in the NBA. And that'll be more hot topics to pick up. So we'll be giving those offshoot interviews ourselves as opposed to being live on the air. So make sure you're watching out for that. But just get back to the point where, like, that was such a long Super Bowl week. And then we had to work the Super Bowl itself on jet lag. And it ended with everybody with either COVID or on their deathbed for another week and a half. But here's what I do appreciate sometimes is I walk in and yes, I'll be like, damn, Kev, you got 12 hours, sick as hell. It's going to be fun to watch you like die up there. And as soon as you walk in, because part selfish myself, I know what's going to happen here. He's deathly sick. We're all here. Yep. We will all be sick. Yep. Send him home. Me and Joe will do everything you need him to do just so we can make it through and be alive. But upper management, when no names needed, we're like, yeah, he'll be fine over there. I was like,
and true, I mean, like the whole company essentially was sick for like a month. Everybody, like that's where
every single person was sick. Like I was on, literally felt like my deathbed for a week. Like I knew this was happening because you get on that time schedule and work so hard and somebody gets sick and your battery is already on 5%, like redlining. I was like, yeah, I know how this turns out. And exactly it did that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They gave me off for a couple of days, which I did appreciate, but I also needed. Like, I was not, like, I was, you know what I'm saying? But, man, I think we're going to have a really good time.
I walked in, I thought you were actually going to, like, a ski resort. I'm like, what is, like, I didn't even need an answer. I was like, what is he wearing? And I don't even know if this is supposed to be a joke at this point. That's what it felt like. And the first words out of your mouth, I was like, we are just a sinking ship right now, so get ready. And then I lost money in the Super Bowl and got sick after that, so nobody won anything on that Super Bowl Sunday. But that'll do it for Moneyline today on a Football Friday. Yep, we're here. Birds next week. Peace out, brother. See ya.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.